Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father. And our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We meditate this day on the words of the Gospel. As Jesus drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. In Jesus' name, there we be. 2 weeks from today. An event that occurred years ago will have its 10th anniversary commemorated. An event that anyone and everyone here over the age of 14 can remember. It was an event that caused tears. Tears of frustration, fear, and anxiety. There are a couple of other dates that come to mind that some here may recall with equal disbelief, shock, and horror. December 7th, 1941. November 22nd, 1963. Those of you who can remember those dates, and your response, I would submit, is indelibly impressed on your mind. Even these many years later, you probably remember exactly what you were doing at the time you first heard. Today, the image of your Maker weeping over Jerusalem invites you to consider just what event caused such tears. It is, of course, not the city itself over which Jesus weeps, but what the city represented. It was Zion, the city on a hill, the place where God dwelt, the place where God promised to bring his peace, his forgiveness, his life, his salvation, and instead his peace, his life, and his salvation was met with rejection. Now imagine for a moment that you are on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The temple, especially the renovated temple under Herod, dominates the landscape, and the city is everything you had imagined and then some. Yet something is missing, and this something is what caused Jesus to weep. You and I in our day may consider New York City, or 9/11, or your once defeating heartland of the Christian faith, and we need to ask ourselves, of what is Christianity today? In today's epistle, the Apostle Paul addresses the question of why this might be. When you hear the Apostle Paul mention the spectacular gifts of the Spirit in that epistle, it is not hard to ask yourself and even consider wondering why those things are not happening today, why you don't see more signs and wonders. It is these spectacular things, if you are led to believe in your sin-filled mind, that if only they could happen now, if someone could do a miracle around here, if only one could heal someone like Paul or Peter did, if only someone could miraculously speak in an unlearned foreign language or speak in tongues, as the scriptures say, then we could come up with a foolproof program to grow not only this congregation, but the whole church of God. At least we could increase our offerings. And that would certainly liven things up around here, add a little pizzazz to the service. It would also attract all kinds of new members, would it not? Then the church would be full again, and the problems would disappear. Not only that, but the real hidden catch in that whole statement is the unspoken words that if only more people could hear about Jesus, then they would come to believe in him. is to this kind of previous thinking that our Lord Jesus speaks in the Gospel today when he says, if you had known even you, especially in this your day, the day when Christ dwells with you, the day when God in the flesh is present among you, the one who makes for your peace is already here, but you did not know the time of your visitation. This is not new to the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know the story of Naaman. Naaman had leprosy, and the servant girl tells him to go visit Elisha. And Naaman goes, but Elisha doesn't come out of his house, but simply tells Naaman to dunk himself in the Jordan River 7 times. And if you know that story, you know it well, that Naaman went, as we would say today, ballistic. He says to himself, I am being put to myself. He surely will come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and he will wave his hand over the place, and he will heal my leprosy. Naaman expected the big show. After all, if God was so powerful, then God should act powerfully, with great fanfare, with waving of hands, with loud and long prayers, with actions that get everyone's attention, so that they knew God was doing something. But if you know that story, you also know that that's not how God visited Naaman that day. Not in loud shouts and great gestures, not in waving his hand over the place, but rather Naaman was visited in the promise of God's healing in and with the water and that dirty, polluted Jordan River. There in that unspectacular event in the water, God visited Naaman and healed him. God heals today too. The waters of baptism, the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Here you see that this water is not just plain water, but water having the word of God in and with that water. This water penetrates beyond the level of sickness to the level of death itself, and thereby forgives sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. Or maybe you remember Elijah in the cave when Queen Jezebel wanted Elijah's head because he had killed the false prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah hides himself in the cave and is ready to kill himself because he thought God had forgotten and abandoned him. And then the Lord passed by Elijah. First there was a great and strong wind, and it tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces. But the Lord, we are told, was not in the wind. And then came an earthquake, that is to wake up the east coast of the United States. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And then a still, small voice. And in that still, small voice, the Lord visits Elijah to comfort and encourage him. Not in a show of force, not in the attention-grabbing power and noise, but in the seeming obscurity of this little voice. Your Lord still visits his people in the same way he visited Elijah. Not in spectacular rock breaking earthquake shattering fire consuming power. That indeed probably would get your attention. It would also destroy you, for God's power would then be turned against you. So God instead visits you, his people, in the still small voice made flesh. The word of God in a manger who scares no one, but rather draws to himself. The word of God on the cross. After all, he couldn't even come down from the cross, or at least chose not to. Where is pitifully weak? The being nature of mankind is revealed, and yet in that cross flows life and peace. entertainment of a lifetime, a show that outdoes the best show you've ever been to, some clear demonstration of God's power and might and strength. That day came when Jerusalem, one of the largest cities in the world for its time, was overrun in such a fashion that not one stone laid upon another, and that the blood ran so deep in the streets that it quenched the fires that were burning. There God visited his people in a spectacular way, visited them because they had rejected him in the way he came, and desired instead that he should come with might and power, all because they did not know the time of God's visitation in the person of his Son, Jesus. All because in their day they did not care to realize that Christ Jesus was the thing that made for their peace with God the Father. And that is why Jesus wept. And Jesus weeps today when we come gathered here and our bodies are present, but our ears and our hearts and our minds are closed to that gift, that word, that still, small voice. And Jesus weeps today when the world continues, even in the church, to demand miraculous signs and wonders that God should come upon us in a miraculous way. But God will. He has promised to do that on the day that he comes in the last day, when the dead are raised and the heavens dissolve, being on fire, and the elements of the earth will melt with fervent heat. Then when God comes, he will get everyone's attention. This word of God's judgment is a word spoken to you today as well. It is a word of judgment and condemnation to those who do not recognize the time of their Lord's visitation, who do not care to speak with the neighbor, the acquaintance, the friend, the fellow member of the necessity of receiving the gifts while God still gives them. Gifts given in baptism and modern word and absolution and in body and blood. Here again, give alone is the reason for you to reach out to family member, to friend, to loved one with an invitation to come and see. Or you could simply ask, what are others doing? The miraculous gifts of the Spirit that St. Paul speaks of are not God's visitation. Neither should you long for them or desire them so that things might change in this place, that people might become energized or you become better motivated with the spirit of excitement. For you have received something better than the gift of healing, the working of miracles, the speaking in languages. You have received the miracle of being called a child of God. A child of God when you were yet enemies of God. You have received the inheritance of life and have been made beneficiaries of eternal life. You have received the right not only to sit and banquet with God, but also to be partakers of the divine nature as you eat Christ's body and drink his blood. You have received ears which get to hear your Lord's word of forgiveness and his declaration that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, your Lord. But more than could you desire than what your Lord gives in baptism, absolution, and suffering? What miracle or spectacular event can exceed those things? Or does God's gracious and saving invitation bore you? If that word bores you, that word that comes to you through the still small voice and the sacraments, events that were, in many ways, spectacular. They were in the headlines for days and weeks and even years. But those events failed in comparison to the final coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all earthly things will be destroyed. And you, who cling faithfully to that still small voice, to that word and promise, even this day, know that now God is among you. This is the day of his visitation. Now your Lord and Savior visit you in the flesh of his body and blood. Now your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. In this way, there is no weeping in heaven, and certainly not